Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst-case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing the Ramstein Airshow disaster. Here's what you need to know. Airshows became popular pastimes in the United States and Europe in the 1970s. Flu tags, or flight days, occurred on summer weekends when U.S. and European airbases would open their doors to hundreds of thousands of spectators vying to see spectacular aeronautical stunts performed by Air Force aerobatic display teams. Beloved by the general public, air shows also served to lure potential recruits. But in 1988, in a mere matter of seconds, the glamour of air shows would be changed forever. It was August 28, 1988. The Ramstein U.S. Air Base in West Germany, the largest U.S. Air Force facility in Europe, was holding its annual Flugtag. The weather had been perfect for flying. Families enjoyed picnics and barbecues as they viewed stunning flying displays. An estimated 300,000 spectators had shown up to watch the biggest and best air show in continental Europe at the time. As the air show came to a close, the final act, the Frecce Tricolori, featuring the Italian Air Force team, got underway. Crowds wowed as they embarked on their first stunt, the Pierced Heart Maneuver. The maneuver required 9 of the 10 jets split into 2 formations, forming a heart trailed by red, white, and green smoke. The 10th pilot, soloist Lieutenant Colonel Ivo Nutarelli, would arch down in a solo loop intended to take him through the bottom of the heart. It was said to be one of their flashiest and easiest drills, a crowd favorite. But as the planes intersected at the bottom of the heart, it is believed Nuttarelli flew too low and perhaps a second too early. Television cameras captured the moment his aircraft struck the lead aircraft of the VIC formation, piloted by Lieutenant Colonel Mario Naldini. The impact destroyed Naldini's tailplane, causing his aircraft to roll out of control and hit the aircraft to his left, that of first left wingman, Captain Giorgio Alessio. These two aircrafts then fell onto the airfield and crashed into a paramedic helicopter on standby. Naldini was able to eject himself from the aircraft, but died after his parachute failed to open before he hit the runway. The other pilot, Alessio, died on impact. The solo aircraft, flown by Nuttarelli, suffered considerable damage to the cockpit. He's also believed to have died on impact. After the initial collision, his aircraft hit the ground. Leakage of fuel caused a fireball, and a major fire erupted as the plane slid on the runway. It then struck a police vehicle and plowed through fencing toward an area densely packed with spectators. Many people had crowded there, as it was said to have been the best seats in the house. Over 30 people died at the scene of the accident. Vehicles and concession stands burned among scattered large pieces of aircraft debris. Many of the victims who perished at the scene suffered extensive third-degree burns or were hit by debris from the aircraft. Tragically, many of the casualties were children, as their parents had taken them to the front of the crowd to get a better view of the show. Hundreds more were injured with second-degree burns. Many of them were left in shock, walking around not noticing their clothes and skin had been burned. Those who weren't hurt looked on in disbelief at the horrific scene before them. A witness, U.S. Air Force Staff Sergeant John Flanagan, remembered, quote, "There was a second explosion and more fire, and that's when people started running, screaming. I saw this little boy just standing there. His hair was all singed, and the skin was coming off his face. Nobody was helping him. We stopped the police, and they picked him up." 70 people died as a result of the Ramstein airshow accident, and over 500 were injured. It is considered one of the worst airshow disasters in aviation history.
The top American military brass in Europe toured the crash site today, still trying to figure out what happened.
Absolutely no idea what went wrong.
An examination of the tapes of the accident would seem to show the problem was timing. One of the Italian pilots arrived too soon at the point where the formation was crossing above the crowd. But the final verdict will come at the end of the investigation. Despite the evidence of yesterday's carnage, U.S. Air Force officials said today that while they'll go along with the cancellation of one air show, they will run them again in the future.
It is not a stunt. It is not a circus. It is an exhibition of the capability of the machinery and the man who flies.
U.S. and West German officials stressed over and over today the distinction between low-level aerobatics and low-level tactical training. But for the United States and other NATO air forces, yesterday's accident was more than a tragedy. It was a public relations disaster.
Fun facts, aka death stats. There were 70 fatalities total. 3 Italian pilots, 63 were German, 4 were American, 1 was French, 1 was Dutch, and 1 was British. Both crewmen inside the paramedic helicopter struck by 2 of the aircrafts were seriously injured and subsequently died. According to different reports, between 31 to 35 people died at the scene of the disaster. The rest of those who died succumbed to their injuries despite medical attention. Of the 530 patients who were seen and treated, 363 were admitted to 21 medical facilities in the first hours. Between April 1989 and March 1998, In the 10 years after the Ramstein airshow disaster, the Blue Angels were involved in 36 aviation incidents, resulting in 2 deaths, 8 injuries, and $51.5 million in damages. All totaled, 105 aviation incidents were discovered that were linked to air shows, rehearsals, or demonstration teams, costing at least $284 million in physical damage. According to the International Council of Air Shows, as of July 2002, somewhere from 15 to 18 million spectators attend North American air shows annually. With us today, we have producer Amanda Lund.
Hi, Rebecca. Hi, Alarmy.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi, everyone.
And our two very special guests are Matt Donnelly and Paul Mattingly. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. Hello. Thanks so much for having us.
Matt and Paul are co-hosts of Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social podcast. Now, Matt and I, we go way back to our days, you know, at the People's Improv Theater in New York City, RIP.
Yeah.
But it was recently that someone on Twitter, who must listen to both of our podcasts,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Randomly recommended that we do an episode on Rammstein, and with you guys as our guests, and
right.
You responded, "Hey, wait, I know her." Anyway, could you tell our listeners about your podcast and why this listener put two and two together?
Right. So on our podcast, Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social, the Italian Air Show is a term that's used for people to write us in listener mail. And one thing this podcast has done, this current one that we're recording, is made Paul and I revisit this with our older empathetic hearts. Because basically, this was introduced to me when Fox Television, this is how old I am, Fox Television basically had no programming. They would air things like incredible air disasters or like when animals attack or things like that.
God.
So when I moved into a house as a young stoner in my early 20s, we didn't have cable, but a friend of mine's dad had all these old Fox programs on VHS, and we watched incredible air disasters, and this was the one that stuck out to us. Because I, perhaps in a haze, blurted out after they described the heart with the arrow, I said, "Wow, something so beautiful became so bad." And my roommates then laughed hysterically at me. And then we started using it as a term. We hung out where we went to a party and the party became bad and then someone got beat up. We called that like an Italian air show. Right.
Oh my God.
We went to go do something fun. It got bad, and then it got worse. Like that's the beat. And so our listeners write us with stories that fit that mold. Something's supposed to go good, then it goes bad, then it goes worse. That's an Italian air show email. revisiting this now with the actual stats and the actual lives, like, oh boy, have I just been
brutal.
I've been throwing it around so cavalierly for 20 some odd years. And now,
you know, that's why we do this podcast. That's why we got to keep rethinking about why we talk about things. And so before we dive in, we do like to start our show by asking our guests, what's something that is alarming you recently? Something that's keeping you up at night?
Paul, there's no shortage, right, buddy?
No, there's no end. No end to that.
Paul,
tell us about your anxieties, Paul.
It starts and doesn't stop. I think there was something that really just tweaked me the other day. I think in general, internet security on a national level is the thing that is most perilous to me. I think the term internet security is going to soon become like Italian air show. It won't have any meaning beyond absolute disaster. Mm.
So let's start our blame game by putting up lack of medical preparation on the board.
Ooh. That seems like a smart go-to.
We're not going to start with Orville and Wilbur Wright?
No. We at the Alarmists.
Put them up there too.
Yes, we're going to get there.
Okay. I mean, Icarus, if we want to really get down to it.
That's later on.
All right. Okay. All right.
Initially, the medical and security negligence was called into question. According to Wired.com, compounding the tragedy, enormous snafus took place in the emergency response. Because the accident happened on an American military base, German ambulances were not allowed to enter at first. Numerous communications mix-up resulted in the delay of victims being routed to hospitals and paramedics not being able to treat severe injuries in time. And the only med evac helicopter on the scene had been destroyed in the crash. Now, according to Trauma Disasters and Recovery by the Department of Military Psychiatry in June of 1990, the press reported a controversy over the emergency care given to the victims. German doctors criticized the rescue operations because the American and German concepts of emergency care were at odds. The German concept is to give immediate care at the scene and then transport patients to hospitals. American military personnel evacuated victims and transported them before giving them intensive first aid. So we actually saw this issue turn up with the Death of Princess Diana episode, which was a similar thing because people said that she might have lived had they brought her to the hospital quicker. But this seems to be like a difference in the way things are done in Europe versus the United States. Here, we just put them in the paramedics van or whatever and take them to a hospital.
So they didn't let the German ambulances onto the U.S. base immediately. Now, was there some kind of beef between the U.S. and Germany recently, in the recent past before then, that might have caused that?
I'm not, nothing's coming up for me.
Okay, all right. See, that's where I'm kind of, okay.
It's funny because a lot of our listeners responded, you know, when we asked what we should put up on the board, a lot of people said Hitler, which is common. A lot of people always think we should blame Hitler for everything.
Yeah. But the military-industrial complex, for sure, caused those rules to be in place.
Oh, okay.
Of not only the rules of let's have a big air show, but let's make sure that certain vehicles can't get into this area.
Yeah. Only our military would be like, we're here with ambulances to treat burn victims. Like, hold on. Let me check protocol. Let me see.
Are you on the list?
What are steps A through C on this before I let you in? You know, anywhere else those ambulances show up goes like, go.
Go for it.
It's
a disaster.
Should we distinguish the American military industrial complex specifically?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so this was a multicultural group of airmen, correct?
So it was the Italian Air Force that was doing the stunts.
Three Italian pilots created the disaster.
Yeah.
Weren't the Flugtags was a German tradition?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't specify.
It does seem to be a common pastime of the two cultures, actually. I feel like Americans also are big fans of air shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they have a Flugtag the next year? Because I want to know, like, who's like, we got to go on. We got to keep going.
Yeah, let's look that up because I think that they canceled the Flugtags at Ramstein forever? I don't know. I don't know if they did any others. So let's also put pilot error up on the board.
Who designed the trick? Who said, this is a good idea.
That's a good question.
Sorry.
Let's look that up as well, Chris. Chris is like writing down notes.
I mean, like, I call myself a fact checker, but like, you know, I mean, I usually have a whole team behind me. I gave the guys the day off today. So I'm a little delayed.
He always says this. He always says this. So the pilot, while he's figuring out who designed the stunt, it seems unsurprising that the deceased pilot, who could not defend his actions, was blamed by the powerful institutions that benefit financially from air shows and would otherwise be held accountable for the disaster.
So
it's always great, like, if we can find like one person, right? Like, the it's like the most satisfying way to put something to bed in the mainstream culture. It's like, oh, that one person, great, good, let's get that person out of here, and then we're then the rest of our lives go back to normal.
And isn't it so often that that's never the case? It's never just one person.
Well, that's you know, you guys go back with the improv history.
Yeah.
That's one of those improv lessons you learn early on. There's always going to be one person on your troupe that you're like, oh, man. And when you get rid of that person, there's somebody else becomes that person. And it might be you.
It might be you.
Yeah. As soon as you think you finally have a great improv team, you're about to get kicked out of a group.
Yes.
That's what's happening. That's
exactly right. Blame is about to fall on your head.
So this is according to AP and UPI. The Diego Ranieri said the soloist for the Italian Air Force stunt team caused the fatal weekend crash when he arrived too low and too soon at the point where the jets intersected. It's easy enough to tell what happened, said Ranieri, who is the commander coordinating the team's maneuvers by radio from the ground at the time of the collision that sent one plane hurling into the crowd. The first section of the formation flew in one direction with the soloist came in 90 degrees, colliding with two planes. I was the only one team member to see the tragedy, but I don't understand what happened. The soloist came in early on the rest of the formation and at the same altitude. And then he goes on. This is an article in the LA Times that says, the commissioners, this is the Three Nation Commission from West Germany, Italy, and United States, cleared organizers at the U.S. airbase in West Germany of negligence over security arrangements at the August 28th show. Quote, the collision of the soloist with two other aircrafts from Tricolor Arrows was caused by human error on the part of the soloist, a statement based on the commission findings said. The pilot made several last-minute attempts to avert the collision, and the statement added, and the soloist's plane then plummeted in flames into spectators. Mm. Now, Giancarlo Nutarelli, the brother of Lieutenant Colonel Ivo Nutarelli, which is the soloist, firmly disagreed and has held multiple interviews and conferences throughout his years. He says, I just want my brother's name cleared. Ivo did not cause the death of all of those people. He was a good driver and would never have made such a mistake. I've been looking for the truth for years, and the suspicion that his death is linked to the 81 victims of the DC-9 matured after seeing how quickly and superficially the Air Force investigated the accident. Now, I can see from your faces, you're wondering, what is the 81 victims of the DC-9?
Yes, that's what I'm wondering.
Okay, so apparently there's a conspiracy theory behind all of this.
Oh, my God.
I was ready to root for the brothers so hard. I was ready. Because error, just the guy on the radio, if he just said go too early, that all makes sense. And then I understand clearing his name.
So this conspiracy, it's called the Ustica?
Yeah, you said that. Ustica? Okay, Ustica.
So in 1991, two German daily newspapers hypothesized that the accident was not due to a maneuver error, but to a sabotage carried out to eliminate two witnesses of the Ustica massacre. So New York Times says Itavia Flight 870 was entering the final leg of a routine domestic trip from Bologna, Italy to Palermo, Sicily on a clear summer evening when it suddenly plunged into the Tyrrhenian Sea near the small island of Ustica, killing all 81 people aboard. Mechanical failure was ruled out early on, and almost 33 years later, the cause that led to the crash are still a topic of passionate debate in Italy, fueled by three decades of inquiry boards, parliamentary commissions, and countless expert reports.
This is my problem with conspiracy theories, which is like, okay, even if that's all true, you wait until they do an air show to kill them? Like, if you want to kill these guys off, there's a lot easier, more efficient methods with no collateral damage whatsoever to kill off witnesses to a conspiracy event.
I mean, I'm with you. So this is what happened. Apparently, the wives of the pilots, Nutarelli and Mario Naldini, who died
Put yourselves in the seats of the conspiracy people, the people who want to do this, right? We have a meeting. We're going to kill these two witnesses. Hey, you know they're doing an air show. What if we make them commit suicide with each other in the sky? Like, that's the first idea in the meeting or the second? Like, who else?
Right, right. My issue is with not the guy who brings it up, but the guy or the lady next to him who's like, yeah, that's a good idea.
Perfect,
right?
Yeah. Like, all in favor.
You know, any creative space, you should be able to throw out bad ideas. You know?
Those are pitches. Yeah, that's a
look,
pitch.
Bad idea. Let's do it at an air show. But you need somebody there who says, come on now, that's a little weird.
We can kill them in their sleep. It's much easier and cleaner.
So this is apparently what happened. The wives of those two pilots alleged that both men who were on duty at the military base at the time of the Ustica massacre had witnessed the DC-9 Itavia shoot down by mistake by a missile. So apparently they had witnessed. Now, Judge Rosario Priore was not convinced of the connections and the case was dismissed. However, the conspiracy theories remain. Cover-up theories have been fueled through the years by what news reports have described as suspiciously high mortality among military personnel and others connected to the case.
Wait. Soldiers die at a higher rate? This is odd. This is new.
Hold on a second.
So this is what it is. Through traffic accidents, shooting deaths, and suicides by hanging, there were 36 untimely deaths by 2011. According to a television report, the program also cited a number of bizarre accidents that befell Ustica witnesses, like being run over by a tricycle and slipping on a banana peel in a Rome subway station.
What?
Did another one
to death?
Die?
And did they die?
Did another one drown from seltzer to the face? So we have banana peel, seltzer. Did anyone die from anyone die from a pie to the face? Is there any?
Come on, though. You have to admit the banana peel's a little weird.
It is weird.
Did somebody round up the usual vaudevillians? I mean, what's going on here?
Wait, you guys just went to the banana peel, yes. But someone got run over by a tricycle, yeah, too.
Well, now, what do they mean by tricycle? Do they mean like a kid's tricycle or just a big three-wheeler?
I didn't look into it any further. I thought all that was enough. All I
know, if a conspiracy theorist were in charge of coming up, it's definitely the banana guy who came up with the air disaster idea. He is really arrogant. He's like, I have figured out all kinds of ways to kill people. I'm on a fucking roll.
So... yeah, so there, you know, I thought we would mention that theory, but we can also move on from that. We should also put up on the board the Frecce. It's the Frecce Tricolori.
The Frecce Tricolori.
Woohoo! This is the this is T.E. Martin from RAF Institute of Aviation Medicine says the team had suffered three fatal accidents in the previous decade. One occurred at the RAF Mildenhall Air Show in 1979, where the pilot managed to guide his aircraft away from the crowd before crashing. Mm-hmm. The Frecce Tricolori, I'm saying that wrong, but I hope, whatever, have a reputation for recklessness. This is according to Time. Nutarelli, the oldest on the team, was a daredevil known for breathtaking stunts called the Bell Ringer, in which he killed his engine in midair, plummeted downward, and restarted it in time to pull up before crashing. Whoa. The Italians fly with brio, with panache, and with skill, said Jacques Bottolini, leader of France's Petrulli Martini civilian flying team, but they push too far.
I like this one a lot. Pattern of established facts and blaming things on ego. Definitely, if you like being a pilot and doing crazy stunts, you have a certain zest for yourself to pull these things off, and an adrenaline rush of pulling these things off. So I'm really into this one.
Ever do the Brandon Lee crow accident?
We haven't, but that's a great idea for an episode.
Because this is kind of the same thing, right? You're going to blame stunt people and people who literally put their life on the line in their professional every day for putting their life on the line. Daredevil people do daredevil stuff.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's like, oh boy, they're great. They really got the gusto and the vim and vigor, but they go too far when they do the thing that they're paid to do. What, you know, it's like, it, well, what's too far? Yeah. You know, what's too far? If it works, if it works, it's never too far.
Right.
All the great stunt accidents, you know, the stunt tragedies that you hear about, but you never, they never really go into detail about, oh, yeah, you saw that thing? He lived.
So should we just go ahead and put air shows in general or Flugtags maybe on the board?
Oh, for sure. Air shows. Yeah.
I think air shows. And you guys bring up a good point because someone, one of our listeners, this is the listener suggestion, said we should put up human need for adrenaline.
Oh, right.
At Will Devers 3 says the human need for an adrenaline rush, faster, higher, longer, etc., has the same addictive effects as actual drugs, and sadly, at times, the same end results.
Fascinating. That's the thing. Like you brought up, was it Flugtag?
The Red Bull Flugtag.
Red Bull took over the term Flugtag for a while, and they had that guy set the record for parachute descent. You remember that? They basically put a rocket up to like the stratosphere and he leapt.
Oh, yes. That was crazy.
This seems like a bad idea. I wish I was in charge of Red Bull.
So he landed and they're like, oh my God, that was amazing. He's like, I will never do that ever again. I'm done doing stunts forever. I'm done. Like, was just like, that's it. Like, basically, I lived and I definitely thought I was going to die. And so never again.
That was insane. You can watch the footage of that. He literally was in outer space.
Yeah, you can see the stars.
Parachuted.
Is this the one where he lands in a net?
No.
There's another one where a guy landed in a net from a really, really high distance.
Oh, yeah.
He had a parachute, but he didn't have to deploy it. Like that was part of the gimmick was like Yeah.
No, making sure this guy had a guy was jumping from like the moon.
Yeah, I saw that's crazy. Yeah, they have full suit on, has to breathe oxygen. And
when I'm hurtling through the sky, risking my life, what I really want is choices. What I really want is to maybe take something in, flip a coin. Let's see what I do.
Who knows how you're going to feel?
while you're up there.
Options.
What you're in the mood for. Just to circle back about 45 minutes ago, it might even have been last week that you guys asked for a couple fact checks. So I unfortunately wasn't able to come up with the designer of the heart technique, but I would blame Frecce Tricolore on that.
Yeah.
That is the Italian team.
Yeah.
They sort of started way back when, and then in the 60s, they grew out to like 10. So now they got these 10 planes, and they sort of developed these tricks. So I couldn't point to a specific person.
It was a group,
person,
maybe, a design.
We'll go. Yeah, it was sort of a group design. And then in terms of, I couldn't find the other fact either.
Okay.
Which was, did they, enough, Matt, just give me a second here. But the interesting tidbit that I did find was that the shortly after the disaster here, Germany banned military stunt flying, but America refused to ban
military
flying. They said there's still value in it, but Germany did. So,
well, have we seen Top Gun?
That's a perfect transition. That's a perfect transition for some other things I want to put up on the board, Chris. Thank you. That fact checking is not going to
work. Thank you, Chris, for circling back and saying I don't know to both questions. You've done a perfect transition.
It's helping. It's helping me. It's helping me.
The transition is uncertainty.
Okay.
And wasting everyone's time. That should be the transition.
And with that, three things I want to put up on the board. First is military recruitment.
Ah, yes.
Despite many crashes and fatalities from air shows in the years leading up to Rammstein, as well as protests against the events due to safety concerns, the New York Times reported that the Defense Department, which values aerial circuses for their publicity and regards them as recruiting and morale-building tools, has no plans to change its policy. Recruitment and public relations are the explicit goals, and the fact that the shows continue under tight safety controls, despite occasional fatalities, demonstrates that the military views the costs as acceptable, no matter how undesirable the losses. Wow.
Wow.
So we also want to put air-mindedness up on the board. Now, what is air-mindedness? Okay. Mm. As aviation developed in the early 1900s, the concept of air-mindedness, or the belief in the importance of flight and its potential to transform society, spread. Aviation historian Dr. Brett Holman wrote, "In this positive version of air-mindedness, people believe that aircraft would end wars and promote trade by bringing nations closer together, that flying in the clean, pure air would cure diseases, that middle-class families would have aeroplanes in their garages, and almost limitless freedom to go wherever they wanted."
An airplane in every house.
Yeah. And a chicken in every plane.
What a weird vision of the world.
If you want further research on this, simply play Bioshock Infinite. And it shows you exactly what an imperialistic society taken to the nth degree that lives up in the clouds looks like. With hardcore.
You're going to have to explain, Paul, what Bioshock Infinite is.
No, he laid it out.
I mean, now, the fact checker got it. It's a video game.
Yeah. It is a video game. First person shooter.
I understand what Paul, I mean, I don't understand what he's saying about the video game. I don't. But I understand the concept of.
Yeah.
Even today, when things are bad, we're like presidents will just be like, "But we're going to the moon again."
Well, it's just so fascinating. I don't know how you'd categorize this or describe this phenomenon of people just buying into those esoteric visions of the future,
mm-hmm.
and as opposed to looking at how we can spend money and help people who are living currently in the present, like
right.
Yeah, or like saving the actual planet we're on.
You want to call it futurism or something like that? What do you want to call it?
That's a
sure. It's interesting though, because we're talking about an air show, so it's not exactly like space travel here. I mean, this is, but it's similar, right? It's like it's a flex. In a way of like, look what we can do. It's a celebratory flex. And there's lots of things people do to sort of celebrate that are kind of dangerous, you know, like
I was
going to
say cakes are more.
I mean, well, like, yeah. And fireworks.
Put
something
inside the cake.
Cakes.
Yeah.
Cakes.
Fetishizing of technology.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Fetishizing of technology.
Yes,
I like
Paul.
That.
I was going to put up the fetishized gaze on tools of warfare.
Okay.
Oh, that's good too.
But all technology can be manipulated into a tool
true.
Of warfare,
aka yes. internet Whoa, security. Careful. Right.
What's wrong with a water show?
You know, like really good point.
Talk to Joe Bellagio. He can tell you exactly what's wrong with a water show.
Well,
it's safe. It's like it's harmless. If something goes wrong, the worst thing that can happen is you get splashed.
Amanda.
I'm so with you. What about a laser show?
There's an argument to be made that we should fight wars with laser tag. targets that can actually hit
paintball. Beep. Even I'll do paintball.
Right,
you're talking to two guys living in Las Vegas. A water show brings plenty of people to town.
It does.
So, I mean, it looks like we're winding down here. We have a lot of things up on the board. Let's go through them. But before we do, we're going to take a quick break.
For Paul to explain another video game. Paul?
No.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information, information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's J-U-V-E-D-E-R-M.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The Rammstein Air Show, who is to blame? Lack of medical preparation. U.S. military industrial complex. Pilot error. The Ustica affair conspiracy.
The Frecce Tricolore.
Air shows, human need for adrenaline, military recruitment, air-mindedness, fetishizing of technology, fetishizing tools of warfare.
All right, so the guy on the radio, we're just putting him in the Frecce Tricolore, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we could add him.
We could put a guy on the radio. We don't have evidence that he
made the early call.
Messed up in any way, yeah. At least.
Well, where would there be evidence?
Exactly. So I see Amanda's adding perhaps the, he's the guy on the radio.
Yeah,
I'm adding the guy on the radio. And then just so we know, the name of the pilot is Lieutenant Colonel Ivo Nutarelli.
Necessarily say the U.S. military industrial complex and just make it military industrial complex in general?
Sure.
Because I think it's a worldwide thing, right? I mean,
yes.
Yeah, air shows happen all over the world. Right. So we can start wrapping some stuff into other concepts if we want.
Okay.
Ooh, this is hard. I do think that we can wrap the guy on the ground and the actual pilot into the Frecce Tricolori.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Interesting. So are we not accepting the conceit that it's pilot error? Or you're just saying this happens all the time, so why would we blame this guy?
I mean, there was some pilot error, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it's pretty clear, right? Whether or not it was like a malfunction, a technical malfunction, or he was too low, right? I mean,
he was too low.
I will say that if you are a military airman, you're used, a lot of things happen without your personal perception, right? Like oftentimes when you launch a plane, you actually almost black out for a second because of the whatever that's called.
G-force.
The G-force.
Oh,
and then you come to and operate your plane. That's something you just get used to as an airman, you know?
Weird.
And so you tend to just do what you're supposed to do. So I kind of feel like defending the pilot in a much more specific way and different way than his brother. And that he probably just went when he was told. So I tend to blame Diego Ranieri, who's on the coordinator on the ground, more than I would blame the pilot.
I mean, I feel like because we have such lack of evidence.
I mean, we have a lot of evidence in that we have the actual footage and a ton of footage, right?
Yeah.
So it is clear that like he was flying too low. We just don't know why. So right. I think you're right. We can wrap both of them into the Frecce Tricolore. Yeah.
Did we look into food poisoning?
It's too late, Paul.
Oh, okay.
The board's already made.
All right.
Board is already made.
Okay. I don't know.
So what else are we going to be able to wrap? I mean, Should we do like fetishizing? Maybe pick one of these fetishizing.
I think
of
just
technology.
Tools,
the technology of warfare. How about that?
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good. And we can also put that air-mindedness, fold that into that
right.
as well.
Yeah.
Human need for adrenaline. That does.
We produce adrenaline naturally. And adrenaline is good.
It's addictive.
It's good in cases where we need to be on our toes, and cases where we need survival situations.
Perhaps this needs to be rephrased then in like the fact that we are now all safe, we all feel comfortable, so therefore the adrenaline is
junkies.
No. What I'm saying is we don't need adrenaline. We've all like evolved to the point where we don't need adrenaline for the same reasons that adrenaline might have been, you know,
okay,
good for our survival, you know.
You're saying we're not being chased by bears.
We're not being chased by bears anymore. So now we do air shows.
While we think about that, I do think lack of medical preparation can be taken off, because that's more of why the death count was so high. It couldn't have stopped the disaster.
Well, a big part of that was the helicopter got blown up.
Yeah.
True. Exactly. Yeah.
That's a freaky thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's the conspiracy.
Take that off. Why is it even on?
You put it there.
I know, but I wanted to talk about it, but.
Next episode. Do you stick a conspiracy?
Yeah.
I stick a conspiracy?
Oh, you stick a conspiracy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What about military recruitment? I think that could possibly be wrapped up into something.
Well,
probably into the fetishizing of warfare.
Well, certainly in that, like, if this cost any regular company this amount of money, it would stop. Mm. Like, right. There's no way any other company besides the military could take on tens of
automobiles.
And I think that maybe we can eliminate human need for adrenaline just because we're not sort of coming at that, but we're for adrenaline. It's okay. You can be an adrenaline junkie, but you just got to be
safe adrenaline.
Be
junkie.
Safe about it.
So we have really four left up on the board, which
all
are
right.
the military industrial complex, the Freccia Tricolori, air shows in general, and fetishizing technology of warfare. And we got to figure out who we're going to send to jail and who's getting the slap.
I'm going, I'll speak up right now. I'm going for the Freccia Tricolori, okay? Because they distinctly spoke to having an edge above other countries in competition. So there's an ego to stay in first place. There's an ego to do the most dangerous, risky things to stay on top. They had a track record of other accidents, and never once, it's their ego of staying on top and being the number one, craziest, riskiest one of any country that put them in this position. So I'm putting my stamp on the Freccia Tricolori.
Now, if the Blue Angels landed in a stadium after the national anthem, it's on the Blue Angels.
Right. Yeah.
It's true.
I like that too,
Matt. And I'm thinking we give the slap to fetishizing technology of warfare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because outside of military recruitment, we many people fetishize warfare and tools of warfare outside of military purposes. So it is it speaks to the greater attraction of these events.
I collect lightsabers. So, I mean, you know.
Right. Paul's a fetishist.
We've all got our thing.
Lightsaber, is that how you say it?
Lightsaber, yes.
Okay.
A laser sword, as George Lucas would refer to it.
Now, a laser sword, that feels safe, right? Or does it really kill you?
An elegant weapon for a more civilized age, but still very powerful and must be treated with respect.
Okay.
Rebecca,
okay.
I'm going to step in here and just tell you to stop poking this bear.
That's right. You know what? We're not going to go any further. And we're
running out of podcast here.
We're going to call it. Fetishizing technology of warfare. You're getting the big slap. The Freccia Tricolori. You're going to the alarmist jail. You guys, I'm so grateful to that you helped us get to the bottom of who's to blame for this incredibly terrible, terrible
yeah.
air show disaster.
Yeah.
That you can now watch on YouTube.
No, don't.
Don't do it.
No, don't do it. But don't, you can.
It's so traumatic.
It is bad.
It's hard to watch. And I got to say that once I watched it, Chris had gone out on a run. And I called him just to make sure he was alive because I was like, oh, God, you can literally die at any moment. Like,
yeah,
very true.
It is so obvious of me to say that. Yeah. But yeah, it's very traumatic. But it's been a pleasure having you on to talk about such trauma.
Hold your planes close and your airmen closer, guys.
Not even Chris could have made a better transition. So good job. Good
job. Matt Mattingly, you can die at any time.
Goodbye.
Wow, that was a perfect sign-off.
After the Rammstein airshow disaster, according to Time, in Italy, the Rammstein crash sent the nation into mourning, but also created a furious debate over the use of the Freccia Tricolore in air shows. The Italian Air Force restricted future appearances to non-aerobatic flyovers at military functions. Back in Washington, both the Air Force, with its Thunderbirds flying team, and the Navy, with its Blue Angels, were quick to assert that a Rammstein-type catastrophe could not happen in the U.S. and to defend such demonstration flights. The deceased are honored at a memorial outside of the airbase in Rammstein that was built in 1995. A large stone includes the names of all the individuals who died due to the disaster. You think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at thealarmistthe on Twitter, at thealarmistpodcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the Emu War.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.